ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। देवाः क्षेत्राणि तीर्थानि दर्शन स्पर्शनार्चनैः शनैः पुनन्ति कालेन तदप्यर्हत्यमेक्षया। देवाः क्षेत्राणि तीर्थानि दर्शन स्पर्शनार्चनैः शनैः पुनन्ति कालेन तदपि अर्हत्यमेक्षया। देवाः क्षेत्राणि तीर्थानि दर्शन स्पर्शनार्चनैः शनैः पुनन्ति कालेन तदपि अर्हत्यमेक्षया। देवाः क्षेत्राणि तीर्थानि दर्शन स्पर्शनार्चनैः शनैः पुनन्ति कालेन तदपि अर्हतमेक्षया। माताजी, क्षेत्राणि तीर्थानि दर्शन स्पर्शनार्चनैः देवाः टेम्पल डेजीस् क्षेत्राणि पिल्ग्रिमेज साइट्स तीर्थानि and sacred rivers, darshana, by being seen, sparshana, being touched, archanahi, and being worshipped, shanahi, gradually punanti, purify, kalena, with time, tadapi, the same, arhattama, of those Brahmins who are most worshipable, ikshaya, by the glance. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result immediately simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. Purport. Rather than remaining in seclusion and concentrating on their own perfection, Vaishnav Brahmins of the highest order dedicate their lives to sharing the benediction of the Lord's devotional service. In the words of the sons of King Prachina Barhi, Tesham Vicharatam Padbhyam Tirthanam Pavanechaya Bhitasya Kimnarocheta Tavakanam Samagamaha. Dear Lord, your personal associates, your devotees, wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? And Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayena Deva Munayaha Swamik Mukti Kama Maunam Charanti Vijanena Pararthanishthaha Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimukshu Eko Nanyam Tvadasya Sharanam Bhramatonu Pashi. My dear Lord Narsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. Maunavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all those poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 44th verse. Om adnyanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaram Hatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Haridanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result immediately, simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. Hare Krishna. So I would like to extend a heartfelt gratitude to the devotees who have given me this service of speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, taking this opportunity to purify myself. It's a very somber day. Devotees are lamenting the loss of a great devotee, His Grace Srinathji Prabhu, and I take this opportunity to extend condolences to the family, and I offer my pranams to the lotus feet of Srinathji Prabhu, because he was such a great devotee, and so that he may bless me, that I may also make progress and render phenomenal service, service which he has performed to our community. In fact, remembering Srinathji Prabhu reminds me of Bahulashva, what we are discussing, isn't it? It's quite amazing. Such a devotee in riches, was like a king actually, no less than a king. And his services also were of that quantum. So, beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So, the context of today's discussion is this is the verse spoken by Shri Krishna to Shrutadev, the Brahmin, who was in whose house the Lord and all the assembled, all the sages who came along with Shri Krishna from Dwarka all the way to Mithila. And Shrutadev has just glorified Shri Krishna with beautiful prayers and philosophy. And now Shri Krishna has held the hand of Shrutadev. He's a poor Brahmin. As we know that there were two devotees in Mithila. One was Bahulashva, who was a great king in the line of Janak Maharaj. He was also a pure devotee. And Shrutadev, who is a poor Brahmin, he was also a pure devotee. And both of them extend an invitation when Krishna comes to Mithila and the Lord expands himself. He goes to Bahulashva's house and he goes to Shrutadev's house also. And now this is a recorded conversation between the Lord and Shrutadev. And now, after Shrutadev has offered his prayers, the Lord is a little uncomfortable, because the Lord is also humble. You know, that is one of the qualities of the Lord, yes, that he is renounced. Even though he is Shadaishwarya Purana, and still he is humble. Because one of those opulences of the Lord is his humility. And therefore it is very difficult for any ordinary man to understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he doesn't claim that, okay, yes, I am the Supreme Lord. Yeah? So the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his explanation is saying that when he holds the hands of Shrutadev, he is acknowledging that what you have said is correct about me, what you have said is right, but, and then he speaks this verse, he wants to give credit to his devotees, and then he is speaking this verse, that one can gradually become purified by seeing, touching and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage and holy rivers, but one can attain the same result simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. So he's telling Shrutadev that you know, all glories to these devotees. So you know, so a very important lesson, in fact many beautiful lessons in this chapter, and we can see that a constant recurring theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is that it is said that don't desire to see the Lord. Desire to serve the Lord in such a way such that the Lord desires to see you. Isn't it amazing? And we can see in the this pastime that Shrutadev didn't go to Dwarka to see Krishna. Bahulashva also didn't leave his management and go to Dwarka to see Krishna. But they were such wonderful devotees that the Lord decided to traverse that long distance. Not just he alone, but all those assembly of devotees he brought along with him, and he personally gave darshan to Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. His devotion drew Sri Krishna from Dwarka all the way to Mithila. And that is glorious, is it not? And we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the lives of all great devotees, may it be Dhruv Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj, or we can see in the life of Shabari, that they didn't really go out of their way searching where is God, where is the Lord, but actually they were simply engaged in their bhajan and the Lord appeared to them. Dhruv Maharaj, 6 months he meditated on the Lord. Lord was pleased. Narayan appeared to him. Prahlad Maharaj, all he was doing is smaranam, and the Lord Narsingadev appeared to him. Shabari, she was doing is wholeheartedly trying to serve the instructions of her spiritual master. And the Lord Sri Ramchandra personally appeared to give her darshan. And here we can see that Shrutadeva and Bahulashva is personally visited by the Supreme Lord. It's really a glorious thing. And it is not something, you know, like catching a flight today. You know, like today if you have to go from Dwarka to Mithila, probably you will take a flight Indigo or Jet Airways or something. And in 2 hours you reach. In those days, if you have to traverse this distance, you know, I was just seeing the Google Maps, what is the distance between Dwarka and Mithila? It's around 2,290 kilometers, around 2,300 kilometers. There were no flights at that time. At least, Lord came on his chariot. And, you know, of course, for the Lord, distance is not a consideration. But still, you know, when he's playing the part of a human being, and quite a distance. And we can see that Shrutadeva and Bahulashva have attained space in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we all know about it because of this, their Krishna consciousness. You know, and if you see important people, it's not really... See, if there is somebody very, very famous and somebody who is very attractive, very beautiful, and all the people are mad after them, it's nothing great, is it not? It's quite natural for very famous people to attract others. So people in this world are attracted to God and we come to temple and all. So there's nothing really great in that. Like say maybe the Prime Minister of India is such a famous personality. There are so many fans of his. But that's nothing really special. But if now say the Prime Minister of India, he takes special interest in someone and he takes his time out from his busy schedule and he goes and visits some person and, you know, sits with him and drinks tea with him or something like that, and then the newspapers will be talking about it. Who's this man? Who's this man? I mean, the Prime Minister is taking time out. So, you see, it's nothing great if we are attracted to the Lord, but it is indeed very, very great if the Lord is attracted to someone. And, therefore, in fact, you know, many times these wealthy people, famous people, they are so disgusted by all those fans, you know, going behind them, you know, with autographs, sir, autograph do, ye do, go do. And there are no privacy. It's a headache actually. You unnecessarily try to probe, and you know, all these newspaper media people going with their cameras, and you know, what are they doing now, what are they sleeping, or they're getting up, they're with this friend, that friend. It's quite embarrassing for those people who want to live a private life. And also in devotional service, we can see the Lord is leading a private life, he along with his devotees. And when we try too much to probe and you know, try, it's a harassment for the Lord. Especially those who are going to the Lord for material desires, it's not very pleasing. So the Lord, in fact, it is quite inappropriate, it's quite indecent to try to, you know, break into people's private lives. So, but if the Lord wants to see someone, then it's great. So we can see this very important example that don't try to see the Lord. You just serve in a humble way. And we can understand that, okay, Bahulasha, we can understand. Bahulasha is a very wealthy man. He's a king. And we see that even, you know, like people accuse ISKCON also many times, saying that, why do you people pamper these wealthy people? Sorry, itne ameer ameer logon ko hi kyun itna importance dete hain? Life member aaya to, oh, please, baito. This is an accusation, you know. But somebody asked me also, why do you have separate lines during Janmashtami for those donors? So for someone who is poor and he cannot make a donation, does that mean that he has to wait? Why that differentiation? Why do you do this? Why do you do like these things? Why do you pamper these wealthy people? So, okay, the Lord goes and visits Bahulashva. Still people can put off saying that, okay, maybe the Lord is following up this person. You know, even though he doesn't have got a care a damn about any wealthy people, he is Lakshmipati. So anyway, he's going there. But the important thing is that he's going to Shrutadev, who's a poor Brahmin. Poor Brahmin. And you know, what is wonderful about this pastime, and I was contemplating, is that he's insignificant. And where is he? He's in Mithila and the Lord is in Dwarka. This is another demonstration of the Lord's opulence, of the Lord being omniscient and the Lord being conscientious. The Lord is not just omniscient, but he's also very conscientious of all the services rendered by his devotees. Now, who even noticed? If the Lord would not have visited the house of Shrutadev, who on earth would have known about him? But the Lord, you see, he visited, and today his name is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, it is not necessary. Therefore, the advantage of devotional service is, there is no need for any announcements about all the renouncements we have made. There is no need. Because the Lord is the super soul in everyone's hearts. In fact, if we make announcements, we lose our renouncements. That is the problem. The Lord doesn't need these things. The Lord knows everything. Somebody somewhere, the Lord is keeping note. Sri Krishna is aware. Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna. I am aware of each and every desire that the unlimited souls spread out in unlimited universes since time immemorial. Even to think about and to imagine the Lord's intelligence and his omniscience is not possible for us. He's aware of everything. Yeah. And very important, the Lord is absolutely grateful and he's gone to acknowledge the devotional service of Shrutadev. Acknowledge. Therefore, even though we may forget what we have rendered, but the Lord never forgets what services we have performed. So there is no need for us to even think that, okay, is my service being recognized? Yeah. So therefore we see that, you know, there is, when I was in Srirangam, one Sri Vaishnav told me one very nice story. That when Ramanujacharya was doing some parikrama there, and one devotee approaches him and says that, I'm having these financial problems. Can you please help me? So Ramanujacharya decided that I will tell one of my secretaries. He told him that, don't worry, I will tell my secretary and I will arrange for something to be done about you. So anyway, there are so many devotees coming to meet Ramanujacharya and he forgets. It just skips his mind. So, after a few months, he again comes back to Srirangam. He goes out for a parikrama yatra preaching program and comes back. And he again sees that devotee. And as soon as he sees him, Ramanujacharya remembers, oh my God,
I was supposed to make arrangements for this devotee. I forgot. And he goes to him and he says, I'm sorry that I was supposed to make this arrangement for you, but I forgot. So he says, no. In fact, I'm grateful to you for all the arrangements you have made. He says, I made. He says, yes, you yourself, you told your secretary that make all these arrangements for me, and since then I'm well settled. Thank you very much, Ramanujacharya. And then Ramanujacharya understood that he had forgotten, but the Lord remembered the commitment made by him. And the Sri Ranganath, he incarnated as Ramanuja and fulfilled the promise of Ramanuja. Hare Krishna. So the Lord always remembers each and every service, even though we may forget. Lord never forgets. Can the Lord forget? Yeah, Lord also forgets. If you say that the Lord cannot forget, then that is also a problem. Then how can he be God? Isn't it? But the Lord also forgets. But what does he forget? He forgets all the sins that we have performed once we become a pure devotee. Is it not? Then everything is forgotten. Then he just accepts. Many times we do the opposite. We remember all the offenses that people have done to us, and we forget all the good things people have done to us. But the Lord is just the opposite. And the Lord sees that somebody is doing some nice seva, even though it may be insignificant, but he exaggerates it. And he is very conscious of it. And if somebody does something wrong, then the Lord doesn't take. Like we can see in the life of Putana. Putana was a demon. Demoness, and she comes with the intention of killing Krishna. But she had that one desire that she wanted to cuddle Shri Krishna. She wanted to have that happiness of giving her milk, breast milk to Krishna. So that one quality, Shri Krishna kept it in mind and acknowledged it and gave her the position of a mother. So that is the Lord's quality of forgetting everything. What we would have done, but only remembering and exaggerating. And also he expects his devotees to be like that, to forget all the offenses that could have come into our lives, because ultimately in our lives whatever has happened is all just the result of our own karma. It is not, there are no offense which takes place actually. If we see it like that, it is all our own karma. And very importantly, that the Lord is equal to all. It doesn't really matter whether you are living in a big house or you are like a pauper on the street, as long as we are engaged in the service of the Lord. People in this world, they value material accomplishments. In fact, we may also see in devotional communities, people only respecting those who are very wealthy. It's natural. You see, that's the nature of conditioned living entities, that they tend to become impressed with opulences. It's okay. The Lord is demonstrating that it doesn't really matter. I remember that once I was going in a car to some congregation's house. Very, very, very big industrialist. There was some other devotees with me from outstation, from abroad. And we did a program there at their house. And after that we had to go for another program. So on the way we were passing through some slum area, and that devotee asked me that where are we going, which is the next place. I said the next program is in a slum actually. So he said, oh Hare Krishna, I've had it for the day, I'm very tired. And he got off the car and he came back. So we may make these distinctions, but the Lord doesn't make any distinctions. We may live in big houses, not a big problem. But let not the house live in us. That's very important. There's no problem. You may drive a car, but we shouldn't allow the car to drive us crazy and intoxicated. It doesn't really matter. Grihe taako vane taako sada hari boli taako. So Lord is not against opulences. If you want opulences to serve the Lord, so be it. The Lord may award us. And if we like to serve the Lord in renunciation, that's also okay. And we can see that Shruddhadev and Bahulashva, both are pure devotees. One is an opulence, one is... So, here now, the Lord is saying that taking bath in the holy rivers, touching holy places, deities, they
do purify, but the purification is gradual. But association of devotees, the purification is rapid. And here it is said, taking bath in the Ganges, or, you know, we are in India very fortunate somehow, because in Bharatvarsha there are so many holy rivers to visit, so many holy places to visit. There are more than billions of holy places in India. Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri. That's why it is said, you know, that Gayanti Devaha Khilagita Kani Dhanyastu Ye Bharat Bhumi Bhage Swarga Pavargas Padahetu Bhute Bhavanti Bhuyaha Purushaswaratva. That even the demigods are aspiring to take birth in Bharatvarsha. Why? Because in Bharatvarsha, you can be awarded liberation, or you can be awarded Swarga, or you can be awarded Vaikuntha. This is like a junction. Bharatvarsha is like a junction. You can go wherever you want, or you can go to hell also, Hare Krishna. So such is the glory. We have so many such holy places. Ganges. Yeah. And, you know, there's a nice story. When I was in Gangotri, we hear about the Mahima of Ganga. That once, the story of Shatadhanva and Vijaya, they were hunters. And because of their sinful life, they had to become frogs. It is said that once, you know, they were hunting and one lion was chasing a deer, and in order to escape, that deer came to their protection. And because they were hunters, they slew the deer. So the Shastra says that if someone comes in your shelter, you should protect them, because they are putting their trust and faith in you. It's your duty to protect them. And because they didn't do that, they had to go to hell. Before they became frogs, they had to go to hell. Vyaghra Bhakshan and Asipatra Nark, where they had to suffer for a very long time and then take birth as frogs. So now, can you imagine, you know, there are certain traditions where they celebrate festivals by killing animals. Somebody sent me some photographs, and I'm sure that all of us must have seen. In Bangladesh and Dhaka, you know, because of the heavy rains, it was all flooded, and the whole flood water was red in color because of the blood of slaughtered animals. Hare Krishna. Culture says that you keep the animal for some time, feed it nicely and give it protection, and then you cut the throat. I don't understand what kind of religious principles, what kind of religion can teach people to become cruel. Any tradition which teaches you to become hard-hearted cannot be religion, is it not? Religion is based on four principles: satya, tapa, daya and shaucha. So, therefore, compassion. So, anyway, this Shatadhanva and Vijaya, they become frogs in the next life. Somehow, they heard the glories of the Ganges, and they decided to go and take a bath, take a dip. On the way, they were eaten by a snake. And because of just simply making the sankalp of going to Ganges, they attain Vaikuntha, Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. They didn't even take a bath. Can you imagine? So, such is the glory of the Ganges. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in that episode of Vamandev coming to the assembly hall of Bali Maharaj, seeing Lord Vishnu, he understands that he is Lord Vishnu, and he washes the feet of Lord Vamandev, takes that water, foot wash, and puts it on his head, remembering that this water is none other than Ganges, following in the footsteps of the great devotees like Lord Shiva. And there is that very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam: Tat Pada Shaucham Janakalma Shapaham Sa Dharmavit Murdhana Adadad Sumangalam Yad Devo Devo Girishas Chandra Maulir Dadhara Murdhana Parayacha Bhaktya. So Bali Maharaj, following in the footsteps of these great devotees like Lord Shiva, who also bore the Ganges on his head, for what reason? Did he want some material things from the Lord that he took? No, because he is Deva Devo. By referring to Lord Shiva as Deva Devo, it is indicated that the Lord Shiva doesn't need anything material because he is Devon ke Dev Mahadev. And the devotee and the demigods have everything, all material opulences, but still he is sitting under a tree renouncing everything. So he doesn't need anything material. Then why is he taking the Ganges on his head? Does he want to take a bath? Well, not necessarily, because he is Devadev Girishas. He is living on a mountain. And his wife is the daughter of the mountain. And on the mountains there are so many springs, so many waterfalls. All the rivers originate from the Himalayas, more or less. So he doesn't need... There's a lot of water available in Kailash. And then what he did? Probably he's feeling hot after having drunk that poison. His body is burning, so he wants to cool. No, Devo Devo Girishas Chandramaulir. He's having the moon on his forehead. Moon is very cooling, so he's already got something to cool his head. So why does he take the Ganges on his head? Because he wants the mercy of Lord Vishnu. He wants to become purified, or probably, you know, being in contact with Tamogun, because he has to do that duty. So for getting the blessings of the Lord. So we can see that is the potency of the of bathing in the holy rivers. We cannot underestimate it. You know, there is this research which was conducted by one Japanese researcher. His name was Emoto Masaru. And his research shows that water has memory. Quite interesting. Of course, all water is basic H2O. It's just hydrogen and oxygen molecules. But he demonstrated that there is a difference between tap water and spiritual water. And why? Because the way the molecules of water bond together, that is the difference. And water which is subjected to vibrations, spiritual vibrations or any kind of vibrations, it tends to absorb that information by way of the arrangement of the water molecules. And because our body is also made up of 70% water, when we take that water, we assimilate that information. So if water is containing these positive energies and we honor it, then we also, you know, develop these positive energies and positive thoughts. So therefore we take Charanamrit, you see. And it's been researched actually like that. And there was also some medical test of people. Their blood samples were taken and they saw under the microscopes and they saw these blood corpuscles were sticky. And when they took the spiritual water, then the cells became more buoyant and became more aerobic, contrast, you know, opposed to the anaerobic environment which could be there in our body causing various diseases. So it is actually researched fact that we can develop positive energy, spiritual energy, by honoring the sacred water of holy rivers. Yeah, so we need this, and we have to become purified. We become purified gradually, though gradually. I mean, because if you see, there are even fish living in the Ganges, is it not? What about them? Yeah, do they go back to God? You know, so it's not just simply taking bath, but it is two things. You have to take a bath in the Ganges, but at the same time you have to be in the right consciousness. Otherwise there are even fish living in the Ganges. What about them? Do they attain Golok, Vaikuntha, just like that? No. So you have to be in the right kind of consciousness. And that will bring about purification. Purification of what? What do we need to be purified of? Prabhupada says, you know, in many places, I was listening to one lecture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, purified of the desire, purified of the illusion to think that I am happy. To think that I am happy in material life is the greatest illusion. One of the big anarthas. And but the problem is that as soon as you enter into material life, then what follows is envy. We will become envious of each other, you know. And people don't even realize that. And it goes on and on and on and on. And a perpetual cycle never ends. So therefore, you know, I was in a house of a congregation member, and the family had daughters. One was a very small daughter, one was a 6-7 year old girl. So the elder girl was sitting with her mother and she was chanting, and the younger daughter, seeing that she had bead bag in her hand, she wanted that bead bag. So she started crying, I want that bead bag. So mother said, okay, give her that bead bag. So the elder daughter gave, and she took another bead bag and she sat and she was chanting. So that girl went with the bead bag and she started playing with it. She doesn't know how to chant also. She was like, you know, just fiddling with it. So when she saw that her elder sister had another bead bag, she threw that bead bag and ran for that what elder sister had. And then again she started crying, I want that. So they gave that to her, and that went back and forth again and again. Every time her sister would have a bead bag in her hand, she would want that. And finally her mother scolded her, saying that, shut up, don't trouble her. And then she slept on the ground and she was slapping the floor, and you know, she was mixed. What a ruckus. And we were all chanting, we were in a morning program, and like she was like miserable. Like she was as if like something very bad had happened to her in her life. And she was like crying, and I was wondering that this is material life. Isn't this, these are the anarthas. And because children, you know, they are very young, they don't hide their feelings. It's pretty evident, you know, how people feel. And even as grown-ups, we don't really stop doing that, is it not? We don't stop doing that. We still compare, you know. Dekho, kya. Just yesterday I was speaking to my parents. Father was telling me that my relatives are saying, ki tumhare bete ne kya kiya? What has he accomplished in life? What material thing has he done? How many houses he has purchased? See his cousin brothers, how much they are doing, so many houses, so many flats, big position. What has your son accomplished? Nothing. What has he done? And then immediately when my father was peaceful, and after that he became morose. Problem is that more than anyone else, the relatives drive you crazy. Because they are constantly comparing, you know, constantly comparing. Like child comes, you know, the mother and says, mummy, mummy, result aa gaya. Kitna mila? 40% aaya. 40% murkh, padhta nahi hai. Mummy, you don't know, I am the only one who passed in class. Bol, achha, bahut achha bete, very nice, very good. It doesn't really matter how much you have. It's how much more you have as compared to others. This is material life. And people enter into this material life thinking that I'll become very happy. Oh, big house means you'll be happy. Big car, you'll be happy. You know, when I was new in Krishna consciousness, I heard one very nice story spoken by Sarvabhauma Prabhu. One man goes to a hotel and he's seeing the menu. And he says, Angur Bhopale ki sabji. He's saying, what is this Angur Bhopale ki sabji? And he says, maybe good, chalo, theek hai. Ek Angur Bhopale ki sabji le aana. So he goes, gets. So while he's, when he's eating, couldn't find any angur inside. He says, yaar, angur kidhar hai isme? Sir, dala hai, sir. Are, kahan dala hai? Ek angur nahi dikh raha hai aap. Sir, dala hai, sir. Kidhar hai, dikhao? Bole, 50% dala hai, sir. Are, isme to ek angur nahi dikhta hai. Sir, har ek bhopale ke liye ek angur dala hai, sir. This is 50-50%. Ek bhopla, ek angur. This is material life. The happiness is like angur. And the miseries is like bhopala. Like we eat chuda. You know, there is that kishmish, which is nice. Yeah? Everyone likes kishmish. But the thing is that in order to get one kishmish, you have to eat so much of chuda. Eat so much of chuda, then you get one or two kishmish. And that damn kishmish keeps us attached to eating that chuda. And the problem is with material life is, the greatest problem is that when we think we are happy, it keeps us, you know, anchored to this material life. Prabhupada says this is the greatest anartha, to think that I am happy. And therefore we need to do all these things. So therefore, we have to take up these measures, and as it is explained that to take association of devotees is far more important. Otherwise, it's a very slow process. And we can see, of course, I'm running short of time, but I would like to share one very nice pastime of Madhvacharya. I was in Udupi recently, you see, because I was reading the biography of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya, after taking sannyas, he was going to Badrinath. He was visiting that place along with his sannyasi disciples. 50 of them were following him. So he had to go north and he had to cross the Ganges. So that part of the kingdom was ruled by Alauddin Khilji's cousin brother. Okay, Alauddin, he was like a terrorist at that time. So he had captured all the boats and he was not allowing any Hindu to cross over. So Madhvacharya, 780 years ago, 700 and maybe, you know, more than that. So Madhvacharya, he reaches the bank of the Ganges and he offers money for crossing, and they say, no, you cannot cross. Now you see, there were Muslim soldiers there, they were guarding that place. They were close to the Ganges and they were taking bath also on the Ganges. Hare Krishna. So Madhvacharya, he performs a miracle. Now as we know, Madhvacharya is the incarnation of Vayu, he is the incarnation of Bhim, he is a demigod actually. So he performs a miracle. He walks on the water and he crosses the river. And not only he, all the other sannyasis also, they cross walking on the water by touching his dhoti. As soon as that leader of that infantry, when they see that soldier, they faint. He faints. 7 times he faints, it is said, seeing what this miracle. Finally, that Khilji was summoned. He came, the emperor of that place. And when he saw the effulgence of Madhvacharya, he was transformed. And it is explained that such a hard-hearted man, he offered half of his kingdom to Madhvacharya. And he said that, what else you want? I will ensure your safe journey to whatever destination you want to go. Such transformation. Simply by one glance of a pure devotee. One glance of a pure devotee. Quite amazing. And you know, recently we were... Hare Krishna. But you know, Prabhupada, somebody sent one link of Dandavats where Prabhupada, how he got his gold teeth. Yeah. Prabhupada had one gold teeth because he had lost a teeth. Prabhupada was in Japan in Dynapon company negotiating the price for printing his Bhagavad Gita. And because you see the effulgence of a pure devotee, they were so moved that after the conversation they offered Prabhupada, because he had just lost his teeth, they offered him a free treatment at their clinic, dental clinic. They had an in-house facility. So Prabhupada accepted, he went there, and there was a young Japanese boy, dentist, who very smilingly, respectfully, because Japanese culture is very respectful, so they welcomed Prabhupada, and he offered to, took the measurement of his lower jaw, and made a gold teeth. And gold is good for the heart. Prabhupada used to have some medicines also containing gold. So Prabhupada was very happy, and they put the gold teeth, and Prabhupada felt his jaw, and he said, wow, I'm not even feeling the presence of the teeth. Very good work. And he grabbed his head and pulled him towards his heart and embraced him. And that Japanese boy, he was like bowing down, thank you Prabhupada, thank you. And with a huge smile, ear to ear smile, so much in bliss. And Prabhupada ruffled his hair and gave him special mercy. So we can see that how people are transformed by a moment's association of a pure devotee. Prabhupada had that quality of attracting the hearts of people. Generally, conditioned souls, when they go, they repel people because they've got so much anarthas. But actually, it is the quality of a great devotee to attract people by their kindness and devotion. And Prabhupada did that, and people felt inspired to render service to him. And that is the whole idea, of course. And the association of great devotees, we have so many wonderful devotees in ISKCON. We have to hanker for their personal association as much as possible. I was very fortunate that in my initial days of my Krishna consciousness, in my brahmachari days, I had the fortune of serving all the sannyasis. Chandramouli Maharaj, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, Loknath Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and all those. I was in guest reception, so I used to. And I feel that is what is keeping me going for so long, probably. You know, just by the grace of these great saints. So, thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.